vanity of vanities, whether that be material things, power, prestige, what is that? I asked you to name it. And it wouldn't surprise me if you're like me. When we name those things, those distractions in the spiritual life, we know what they are and we know we need to let go of them. But we're afraid to. Because even if we feel in our heart of hearts that we know that they're a distraction and they know that they're not contributing to our holiness, we kind of like having them around. They give us comfort. And just as the underdog story, boy, there's a lot of risks that oftentimes the underdog takes. There's a lot of times the underdog has to resist the temptation to listen to the worldly voices. You can't do it. You come from Podunk, Wisconsin. Why do you think you can make the majors? You have to put all of those things aside and do something that to the world's eyes seems beyond any of our abilities. And that there's something of the divine that works forward with this. No, I am not saying that the Brewers are being smiled upon by God. I just say, but continue to pray for them, by the way. Just all homiletic kidding aside. For us, it's hard to let go. I was talking with a young man who's going to be starting to do his discernment with a religious order, and without getting into too many details, one of the reasons he sought me out was understandable. Father, I'm thinking about walking a path similar to the one you're walking, and I'm scared. Good! That means that you understand that this whole priesthood thing is a pretty important thing. You know, you've gotten beyond the, oh, I think I'll be a firefighter, a cop, an astronaut, or a priest. You know, you're beyond that phase. These decisions are becoming real. What scares you? And he was like, Father, I'm scared because I'll always be afraid that I'm going to wonder, what would it be like to have a wife? What would it be like to have kids? How do you handle it? How have you dealt with that? And I smiled because I could see myself when I was his age. Because when we initially give up things that stand in the way of Christ and what Christ asks of us, there can be the fear that it just seems like all we're doing is getting rid of it. It's the focus of what we lose. I thought of that at the beginning of this gospel from Luke, when Jesus says, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth decay, destroy. That idea of a radical detachment for money, I think, for all of us, not just for priests, is like, boy, that sounds so nice. And then you look at your electric bill. And then you look at the necessities of life. And then you look at how that might affect your life to let go of those things. And I shared with the young man that, yeah, saying to the Lord, okay, I could have a wife and kids, but I'll give that to you so I could be a priest. That was hard. But now, 22 years into priesthood, my decision to embrace a life of celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of heaven isn't about what I've lost. It's what I've gained. It's what I've received. It's what God has blessed me with in return. And all of you are part of that blessing, because if I was married and had kiddos, I obviously would not be your priest. Now, I am humble enough to realize there might be a couple of souls out there today that are like, maybe you should have gotten married, Father. Maybe it was such a bad idea. Touche. But for me, I think that one of the powers of our readings today, when we hear Jesus' radical call to detach from the world, it is a scary thing to think about what we're not going to have. And that's when our second reading kicks in. Faith. Faith that God keeps his promises. Faith that we will not be abandoned. Faith that we see in the most radical underdog stories of all time, whether it be the children of Israel going across the desert, Abraham and Sarah not being able to have kids in their old age, having a child and having descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. We see time and time again the Lord blesses the underdog story of faith. Including you. Including me. Could I have chosen a different path in life? Yeah. Would God have still loved me if I've chosen another path? Sure, I believe that wholeheartedly. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. I wouldn't trade being your pastor for anything. It all goes down to what St. Irenaeus of Lyon mentioned of the opulence of God. Now, I'm of the age when you hear of opulence, you might think of the old TV show Treasure Island, with Tattoo, Lives of the Rich and Famous. That's not the opulence of God. We are not a prosperity gospel. Faith. But the opulence of God is mercy, forgiveness, love, joy, holiness. And St. Irenaeus teaches us that those treasure troves, those places of the wealth of God, is emptied completely upon us always. Which begs the question, do we embrace the opulence of God? Or do we lose the sleep over the vanity of vanities? Do we allow our hearts, yes, to experience loss in a worldly sense, but open our hearts to receive in a heavenly sense. So this week is a follow-up to last week's meditation. Have you experienced in your own self the underdog story that God wishes to accomplish in you? How many times have we all felt, what am I? I'm not significant. There's so many people in the world, so many people that went before me. Why would God give me a blessing that is unique to anyone else in the world? Welcome to the starting of your underdog story in Christ. Welcome to the starting point of the next heroic story is faith. This week, though, you need to answer this question. Do you listen to the voices of the world that say you can't and you shouldn't? Or do you listen to the voice of the Lord who says, I am faithful, I love you, and I will make you holy. Embrace my love. Embrace the riches of God. Let go of the vanities. Experience both the negation that comes, but open your heart to receive the blessings that go beyond our understanding of human wealth and is truly the wealth of heaven.